have like 250 member CSA. We grow for the Great Barrington Farmers Market, which is a very, very lucky to be there. It's a really great market. And then we do a little wholesaling to a few stores and restaurants.
I'm your host, Andy Chamberlain, and I take you behind the scenes with growers who share their strategy for achieving the triple bottom line of sustainability. These interviews unravel how they're building their business to balance success across people, profits, and our planet. Today's episode comes to you from the farm where CSA started, right here in the Northeast, in the town of Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Elizabeth Keene and her husband Al has been farming at Indian Line Farm in Great Barrington, Mass. For over 25 years. After taking a sabbatical in 2016, they had the realization that after 10 to 15 years of just running the farm, it was time that some things needed to change to make the farm more sustainable in their next phase of life. The upgrades to the farm included purchasing of a delivery van, a 30 by 96 hoop house, and replacing the 6-wire high tensile electric fence with an 8-foot deer fence to keep them out. Additionally, Elizabeth decided it was time to make some improvements to the post-harvest area of the farm. This podcast gives a tour of the barn upgrades, and the conversation is mostly led by my colleague Chris Callahan of the University of Vermont Extension. This story is also shared as a full post-harvest case study on our blog, so if you want to see photos or a video from this visit, make sure to see the blog post at go.uvm.edu/Indian Line. Now, let's turn back to Elizabeth, because this... is the farmer's share.
So I'm Elizabeth Keene from Indian Line Farm, and this is our 25th year here at this particular farm. And I got my start, well, we ended up here at this farm actually because someone died. Robin Venen, who is the, most people know her as one of the founders of community supported agriculture. And so this farm is the birthplace of CSA. I have minutes from meetings that they used to have in terms of when they made the name, right, in our living room. So we've been very honored to carry on that legacy. There was a period of when, well before Robin died, where the farm wasn't operational. So we didn't walk into a working farm. We actually had to start this from scratch. And initially we just did a few markets and has grown ever since. We have like 250 member CSA. We grow for the Great Barrington Farmers Market, which is a very, very lucky to be there. It's a really great market. And then we do a little wholesaling to a few stores and restaurants. And my entree into farming was really having worked with subsistence farmers in Guatemala and southern Mexico, and thought that I would go back to have a more technical skill. I was doing more like accompaniment work and very generalist kind of things, but thought that if I could have a more concrete skill, that I could go back to Central America and be more helpful in horticulture. They were really encouraging these populations to grow a little bit more than, you know, corn and beans, and to expand their nutritional intake. But I, after being an apprentice at a local CSA, which is now no longer operational, I met my husband and realized I know nothing about farming or horticulture, and 6 months was not going to give me the amount of knowledge that I felt I needed in terms of going back to assist, a population that had been essentially growing their entire lives. And yeah, my situation just changed. So we ended up here through the help of a couple, like, friends and family of Robin, and they really just encouraged us to try to rent the farm from her son. And it was through that process we also made connections with two local organizations, the Nature Conservancy and the Community Land Trust in the Southern Berkshires. And they really approached us and said, we want to see this farm a farm in perpetuity. So would you be interested in this model where you all bought the buildings and the improvements, and they essentially bought the land. So there's now a conservation restriction on the property, particularly because of the endangered species that are next door in the wetland. And then the land trust's contribution essentially was just helping pay for the land. So we have a 99-year lease, which is now taken off by like 20-something years. And, you know, we can sell the farm. We can, you know, we could lease the farm to someone else. But essentially, the land will never be commodified again. It will be, the purchase price will be very much just related to the investments that Al and I have made here.
Great story.
Yeah,
it is a fun story. It's great. It is, yeah.
Is that helpful to look back on that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I do have enough, you know, several times a year I get asked the question, so it's very fresh in my mind, so to speak, and I do like it. It's a very non-traditional path, I think, in terms of how some people ended up into farming. I had no farming experience, no horticultural experience, no biology, no anything. I was a political science history major, and you know, I came at this one partly with the idea of essentially like interest in community organizing and working and bringing people together. And then I realized I really love hard work. I really love being outside. I didn't want to go back to working in an office, having worked with Amnesty International for a year. And this, we immediately fell in love with this place. So I do like telling the story.
So roughly how many acres are you growing on? What do you, and what do you grow?
Right. So we grow on, we grow about intensively on about 5 acres. And then we, the farm is surveyed at about 20 acres. And so there's some wetland areas in there. And then of course the homestead area. And our sort of rule of thumb is that we grow veggies for 2 years and then we have a year off.
And that year off is cover cropped?
Yeah, the year off is a sequence of fall planted rye vetch, and then some shallow in the summer, and then planted back to oats and peas, and then we would plant on that the following spring. Initially, this was the entrance to the barn downstairs. It was really like the only real, it was the downstairs entrance to the barn. And when we walked in, first of all, the barn was about 2 feet.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, you can see the line.
Standard so 7 foot.
Exactly.
Barn.
So my husband, who's 6'5", would often, and then sometimes like some of the light fixtures were actually just hanging down. So I've had some folks hit their head on light bulbs, which was horrible.
Yeah.
So we used to wash all the vegetables essentially from this area to about right here. and then we had some like storage over here. So because this was an old dairy barn, there were long troughs that ran through, and we actually cemented all of those in except when about right here. And so we put our own drains in that, so there were two drains and then they connected there and then it went out and we have a pipe that then kind of just daylights outside. Yeah, it was rudimentary. I mean, we had a spray table, two dunking tubs, all of our bins were stored over there, and there were also, like, there was a wall here.
Yeah.
There was, like, a little wall and, like, a big clump of cement that we had to walk over. and then it was essentially open from here. But where now there are 3 posts along the expanse, there used to be 4.
Okay.
So we were always navigating the entire barn with 4 posts where in the line where there are now 3. And again, we made this work for a really long time, and every time we started thinking about how to make the barn better, we just kept coming up against the height.
Yeah.
And how do we re-cement? We did re-cement the floor once when we initially got here, just to smooth it out, and you know there was chunky and things, but it just was like beating your head against the wall. Like, how do we actually make this work and to really make an improvement? And it was hard. And so we just didn't do it. It was just like the last project on the farm that we tried to address. And then with the the, and I just in terms of who I am, like I'm a little bit thrifty. And so there were, have two children, one's 18, one's 15. We went like a good 10 years where we really were just like running the farm.
Yeah.
And it, really thinking about these larger investments was like just kind of beyond me. And, but I took a sabbatical in 2016. And when I came back, I realized if I'm going to keep doing this for the next 15 or 20 years, I have to make some serious improvements because one, I want the farm to be amazing when I want to sell it. And two, I want the last number of years to be, I want them to be easier.
Yeah.
So some things, we actually put an 8-foot deer fence up during COVID. That was one of, the deer are horrible here. And our 6-wire high tensile electric fence just was not cutting it anymore.
Wow.
So that with, yeah, we did that ourselves. And then we, I bought a van with some of that PPP money. You know, we've just been using a pickup truck. We put up another, a third hoop house, 30 by 96 hoop house. So anyway, some of that was with grant funding. Some of it was just like, we got to do this. And certainly COVID helped financially in lots of capacities.
Can you say a little bit more about the 2016 sabbatical? That sounds like an amazing idea that I haven't heard many other people do.
Yeah, no, I know. I've only known one other person to do it. So because of my experience in Central America, and I had always said that I would do it. Like it was just in my brain, I will do this. And I think I thought about it doing it at 10 years and then 20 years. I don't know. It just, I realized it wasn't happening. And I mean, we all get burned out.
Yeah.
And so, about 2014, I was like, I just started really saying it out loud. How can I make this work? And I really was hoping that I would have had an employee who would be willing to take it on for a year. In the end, I said, you know what? I'm just shutting down. And we were going to rent out our house. We were going to just, draw from some savings. And in the end, my husband, who does not have the same Central American experience that I had, he decided he didn't want to go. And so that was like, oh my gosh,
so was the plan, was the plan to go to Central America for a year?
That's okay. I mean, I wanted to be open to where he also might be interested in going because he didn't have that. But I realized I was really tied to going there. So when we essentially kind of made the, I have lots of connections in there. So we ended up going to an indigenous village, and I was a middle school English teacher. My kids went to school. You know, this is like no running water, no lots of stuff. And it was amazing. But because he ended up not going, we didn't rent out our house, but he tore down a mobile home that was sitting between our house and the neighbor's house, which had essentially been some of our apprentice housing. And he built like a cottage that now we rent out. So it worked out.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, it was super hard to tell my community, I'm not going to grow anymore. But I realized, who cares? Like,
it's a year.
It's 1 year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like I'm serving a community that can't buy their food somewhere else. I mean, really, that's what it came down to for me. I realized I'm going to be letting myself down if I don't do this. It was just like this. I just knew I needed a year of not working so intensely. And it's just something completely different.
And for you, is there? It sounds like there's a clear line, pardon the pun, line between Indian line before that and Indian line after that. You've made some pretty significant changes.
I mean, definitely thinking, yes. It just kind of like opened my eyes up to, this is where I want to be. Like, I couldn't really see where I wanted to be. And again, because there is this super thrifty nature, Al and I's we called it, it's like through the holistic resource management thing, we built that, we had this four sentence phrase of our goals were to bring the land to bear, laugh, pay off the debt, and eat responsibly. So The thing about going into debt was like, oh my gosh, why could we, you know, how could we afford this or how can we afford that? But anyway, it's fine. We figured it out.
Yeah. Well, I think that's an important message.
Yeah.
For lots of people. I don't know. I'm especially the past 2 years, I think that will really resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can take a break and make it work.
Yeah. You know? And we, you know, in the end it worked out that he, you know, he worked on the farm 3 days a week, and then, no, he worked on the farm 2 days a week, and then he has his own surveying and engineering business, it's essentially just him. But, so then he started working full-time, and then he worked on this project, and he had a ball, my husband was, so happy building this thing, and even though it was, you know, it was hard, obviously, to be apart, we knew it was temporary, it was, anyway.
Well, that's a great, thank you for sharing.
So was the farm still running that year?
No, it completely took off. So I had a coworker who was local. He kind of managed the cover crops. Like we essentially tried to cover crop as the whole thing.
Good opportunity to rest everything.
And then I was, you know, just the way the timing worked, I ended up coming back, you know, in July and then, you know, had the whole, you know, that end of summer, fall to just kind of be here and, you know, I ended up doing some catering jobs. You know, I was doing stuff, but to not have the pressure really just allowed my brain to open up and think.
That's
about.
Amazing. Yeah. And so, what one thing that came out of that was, a renewed commitment to wash, pack, barn renovation.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. And just some capitalizing that's going to make this farm a little bit more productive, efficient, and sustainable.
And was part of that also thinking about, I think you alluded to this before, thinking about what's it like for Elizabeth and Al to run this 10 years from now?
Yeah,
You know, so yeah, walk us through.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was kind of the bonus, that we got this out of the project. So, you know, the first thing they did was tear down the ceiling, but it meant that we had to clear out an entire 20 years worth of stuff upstairs.
Yeah.
So it was, I found a very generous neighbor who had an open barn. So we moved all that. We got rid of a ton of stuff. We had, you know, we essentially put a bunch of stuff out in the front and people took stuff and it was great. I put the word out and people came and got stuff, which was terrific.
Good scrap rates.
Yes,
right now too.
I know. So the main thrust of this, of course, is the building of this structure in here.
Wall.
So we essentially divided the barn into thirds. And we had these other convoluted plans, and the builder actually had those plans. And then I walked out here one day, and I realized I actually taped it off, what it was going to look like. And I realized we'd made a mistake. I was like, this is not going to work, because we'd actually put the cooler over a square out of the CSA room. We'd actually put a wall. We wanted to have a lesser of a heated space. And so there was actually going to be a wall here. And then we were going to have these 8-foot doors in here. And I realized that is so stupid. Why would I do that? Let's just make, you know, use the posts kind of as barriers and walls. And we built a bathroom. We now have a farm bathroom, which is amazing. There's one little thing that has to be hooked up at the septic pump down there, so it's not quite on. And then we did have to, the concession, I think, which wasn't really a concession, and that is that we put the cooler over here, and which, you know, in thinking about the flow, it was like, but anyway, that's what we had to do.
That's awesome.
So we got this nice big cooler.
Wow.
This was our old cooler.
I hope those hinges hold up, though. My goodness.
Yeah.
It's like bank vault hinges.
Yeah, right. So it's actually not on yet, but we're about to epoxy the floor, and we had to insulate it because, I don't know, no one, you know how projects are. One, no one said you should absolutely make sure that the floor is level. It was not quite level. And because we had thought it was going to be over there, we sort of forgot when it got moved to insulate the floor.
Oh.
So anyway, that's an oversight. But Yeah.
So this is all new within the past 9 months?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this just went in September. Yeah, I mean, there's still the electrician still has to come back and do one thing. I can just show you what our...
This is, I mean, one thing that I'm just picking up on here, yeah. This is a really nice wide door.
It is a nice wide, yeah. Yes. I was really, we wanted to be able to use a pallet jack and move it in there. And again, it's not, I've never used a pallet jack, but
I'm like,
I thought I should be able to have a door that was pallet jack worthy. So that's why we made it wide. We do have those Hanoi reels. So
Hanoi.
So we bought two of those used. So they're waiting to be put up.
Post reels, yeah.
They will be put on the ceiling. The other thing that we're getting rid of these concrete blocks for some. I noticed Uline has a stand that seemed very familiar to a stand that I saw someone else have in their. In a video I saw, and I'm like, where did they get that stand? And then saw it.
From Uline, huh?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
That's good to know. We didn't know that, did we?
No, most, the couple farms that I do know had them custom welded.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed.
So if you found one that'll work.
Yes, well, so, in it, I mean, the weight capacity was like over 1,000 pounds.
Oh, great.
Like, well, that'll work.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, just for cleaning purposes and all that. I wanted to get rid of those blocks.
And I don't know if it's in that case study video, but the other nice thing about those stands is with that weight limit, pallet jack underneath them if you need to move.
Right. Yeah, right. So. Yes. Yeah.
And also for drying, you know, you can.
Right.
Same as what you have going on here with the blocks. But. So one nice thing is wide open space,
it is.
Central drain. You've got flexibility for layout. And, you know, one thought that comes to mind is there a flow sort of from the door, everything gets sort of landed, and is there a possibility of, you know, certainly barrel wash or greens or spray kind of coming in this direction to then go in the cooler?
Like a drop off.
Yeah.
So can I just say something? We've never had the barrel washer inside. It's never been inside. it has always been right outside, right here. There used to be a... years ago, there used to be what they did. They had something here, and it was dirt, and then they had this concrete pad for whatever reason. So anyway, that we had to take that down. It wasn't safe. So, but we've literally only ever used the barrel washer right there.
Great. Yeah.
So my thought is that we might actually, I don't know.
You could drag it out and use it there if the day is nice.
Yeah, right. And then in the wintertime, if I'm... we have never washed veggies in the middle of the winter. So all of my roots get washed and stored in 40-pound bags. Yep. And I've never really had a problem with rotting or anything. So for me to have the option to harvest more and then wash later.
Yeah. So that's kind of a game changer just in terms of.
Yes. I mean, to be as far away from where the vegetables need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. This used to be a whole root cellar like this.
Yep.
There was a wall all the way. Like it was a big enclosed area that they had built long before we got here. And then the easiest thing for us to do was just to put a cooler in this insulated kind of area.
So this will remain unheated.
Yes. Right.
This central wash pack area, you have the heat pump for heat.
Yeah. So,
that's a nice looking.
It's a very nice one. I mean, we literally, in our plan, it was just like a small propane heater or, you know, and they were, so the builder was kind of insistent that we do electric because of the solar panels so that somehow we could net zero that way. But I'm like, that is a nicer heater than I have in my house. But it's been great. I mean, all winter long, I would just come out here an hour before. I turned it on this morning just for a bit. And washing veggies this winter was so amazing.
Oh, so that's right. So you've had a winter in here.
Yeah. So we did. We washed. We have three greenhouses that were full of greens.
So greens all winter. And is this the first? It's not the first winter you've done that, but the first.
It's the first winter that we did as much as we did, and it was the first winter where it was fun.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to be so strategic about the day. Long as I could harvest them, it didn't really matter what the temperature was outside.
And are you doing anything to sort of temper the water that you use? Or
yeah, so this, again, I sort of feel like it was like over all done, but this is a hot water heater that we can turn the hot water on. I mean, I've never done that before, but I've heard that it's good to warm it up. I mean, one just for personal comfort.
Yeah.
But, so one of the things we bought new casters for these so that they wouldn't roll. So we just did that. And then...
they tend to walk? Have you found
they
these?
They definitely walk. In fact, I'm not even super psyched with how they're... I mean, again, if there's any slope whatsoever. So, like, having it right here, it just wants to walk that way. If it's completely, I think, level, it doesn't walk.
I'm wondering if triangle of just 2x4 triangle that is sized just for those to fit in.
Okay.
So there'd be an initial lift into that.
Yeah.
But you might even be able to make it in such a way that you know, when these are
unlocked, you could just slide.
It's above, yeah. So with these down, it'll just clear this. But with them up, it can sit on there and roll with it.
Okay. Ooh, nice. Okay. Yeah. So in terms of the barrel washer, we know that we could get casters for it.
Totally. Yeah. Are you imagining that you will still wash before storage root crops, or are you gonna?
I mean, I would imagine I might do that this year again, but then. You know, maybe in future years that I wouldn't. And then I guess in the wintertime, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'll just put it right over the drain.
Yeah. Yeah. But having, I think, casters with an option to get it against the wall will definitely make this a much more comfortable path.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing to possibly consider is seeing about getting a tray.
We have it.
You do?
Yeah. Like this, right?
So for feeding, yes, but also for collecting water.
Oh, okay.
So if you collect the water and send it to a single drain, it's going to make your your floor clean up a lot better. It makes this clean up a little bit more involved, but.
Oh, do you have pictures of any of that?
Yeah, I would think Jericho Settlers is a good example of that. But in my mind, I'm imagining heavier soil root washer crops coming this way.
Okay.
Mid-level soil crops going to the spray table somewhere over here.
Okay.
And greens kind of having the shortest path to the cooler, sort of uphill.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I know one of the things that I have been thinking about, and that is, saw a lot of folks having, you know, different places for clean bins, different bins for dirty bins, and then different bins for different purposes. And so maybe after I see your little map, I mean...
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, those just... Yeah. But I know also with food safety, they're not supposed to be on the ground, which I'm not that great about. I'm horrible about it because the floor is... Yeah, anyway.
So what a lot of people do is just take one sacrificial bin upside down, and then stack the others on.
Okay.
Or even just one like this.
Uh-huh, right.
And this one is never used. It just receives the next one. And also, you're getting into pallet mode.
Right.
So, you know, you can get some pallets that just stay in here just for that purpose.
Right.
Just for putting bins on.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the good news is you've got an amazing dance floor here.
Yes,
so, you know, you can really do a lot with this.
Yes. And you can experiment because nothing's tied down.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, one of the things, so we, of course, use a ton of 5-gallon buckets to harvest tomatoes and peppers and eggplants and all that kind of stuff. And one, I haven't quite figured out where I should store those or if I should just keep them outside. That's sort of what I'm thinking.
What's your appetite for more concrete?
I have no problem with more concrete.
Well, I'm wondering if you might find some good value in a concrete apron out here.
And
maybe a shed roof.
Yes.
Open, but covered.
And
that becomes a hugely useful space. Again, mid-season, barrel washer could be out there.
Right, yeah.
Any of your harvest bins could be stored out there.
Yeah. We noticed that, again, you know, you do one thing and then you find another problem.
Course.
And that is the drainage. Like in this winter, it was not...
Fell right up against
it. Yeah, it was coming up right up, if not in. So we did, the engineer who engineered this whole thing, he's like, if you don't put a drain outside, I'm not going to do this for you. So we did put a drain.
A
gutter. We put a gutter. Uh-huh. And that alone was the first time we've never seen water in the barn.
Speaking of which, rough dimensions of the, so the cooler is roughly?
The cooler is like 13 by 13.
Okay.
Yep.
And you've got maybe another 13 by 20 of space here?
Yeah, so the barn is, it's 30 feet wide.
Okay.
And so if that's 13, it's...
Yeah. And the main wash pack room then is 30 by...
Yeah, it's 30 by 60. Wait, if each of these, I think each of these are about 13 feet, actually. 13 or 14 feet between posts.
Okay, so...
Is that right? So...
30 by 30.
It's almost a square.
Yeah. 30 by 30. You got a bathroom, which... is maybe
eight by eight.
Yeah. And these are, the ceilings are now eight?
Yes.
Pretty close to.
Yeah.
And that one, is that taller?
Well, this one, yeah, this one has insulation and all that stuff, so yeah.
And CSA, this is room. What you call a CSA room?
Yes,
So this is, again, maybe 30 by 30?
Yep.
Okay. And how's that feel?
It feels amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're still, it's interesting. So we inherited all these tables. We've never done any table improvement at
all. Are these the original CSA tables?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this has been here since we got here. All the sawhorses were here.
So now they look all antique-y on
right,
the new floor.
Right, exactly. they're all of a sudden, and because it's so light in here, I feel like, oh my gosh, you can see everything. The flow that we've had last year, was people came in, sign in, and then they did a little loop around the room and out.
Cool.
I've been reluctant. I mean, I feel like other CSA's rooms that I've seen, like they really push stuff up against the wall, but then backstock is under the table. We've always had backstock behind the table. And then so that, you know, my barn folks can do the work from behind. But again, the space is huge. It's lots of flexibility, and we're in the process of like going to make chalkboards up on the walls.
That's so cool.
But the lighting and the height, it's been night and day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I mean, I would be remiss in, you know, not being clear. I'll tell you how much the cost. So the state actually gave us $219,000. And then the project cost, we did the final total, about $260,000 to $240,000. I can look that up. Yeah. I shouldn't give you an exact number.
And what's in that? That's...
So that, what we paid for, so it's all cement, I mean, everything. I mean, it's the new floor, all the demo, the new ceiling, the... all the insulation, all of the septic work, like we had to put a new septic line in, you know, the bathroom, you know,
heat pump,
outside work. Yeah.
Cooler.
It's
really everything. Yeah. And then you mentioned solar. Do you have solar? Not on the roof here.
Solar
is
upstairs. That was from 2008.
Okay. That was pre-existing. Okay, great.
This is, might be the best wash pack barn CSA room setup I've seen.
Certainly dairy barn renovation.
For sure.
Yeah. This is next without, level, Elizabeth. This is
without
really
building
beautiful.
A completely like whole new structure, like working within a barn.
Well,
this
actually when we put the bid in, that's what we did, is we put a bid in, and maybe we told you that, because that's one
for
of the reasons why we were talking to you.
It's
like
that,
we're gonna build a 20 by 40 out there.
Yeah.
And then it was actually Al's dad, who's an architecture, and I was like, why are you doing that? We already have a building. And it just was so overwhelming to think about the jackhammering of the floor, because that's the only thing we could see. And then another builder came, and he's like, you know what? Let's look at this. What would happen if you just got rid of the
ceiling? For $260,000, man, I wouldn't think you could build something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with all these features for that.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So that process, the thought process of, because everybody runs into this. Build new, how big, renovate what I have. Can you just walk us through that?
Yeah.
Those gymnastics.
Yeah.
And the different opinions and the, you know.
Right. Management. So, I mean, honestly, You know, and maybe if we had done more consultation with some other folks, we might have come to the conclusion that we could have really used this space without building a new building. But we knew that we couldn't dig down. Like, mm-hmm. that was pretty clear because of the foundation of the building and losing integrity. So that's where we went to the outside building. And we wouldn't have, it wouldn't have been an elaborate, it wouldn't have, I mean, we still would have had to put a bathroom inside. So that was part of the plan, was the bathroom inside and the cooler was inside, but the wash and packing was outside.
So you were, okay, you would have had a bathroom in this existing
building. We would have tried and...
Yeah. And then moving between two buildings.
Yes.
And the idea of the new building was not to be connected to this.
Well, it would have been, it would have, let's see. Gosh, now it seems like so long ago.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, we're not ridiculously stupid, so there must have been some flow. And maybe actually the cooler was outside. Again, we would have made it work, and it would have, you know, it would have been definitely better.
What was the, I mean, the state funding had to have helped make the decision.
Oh, absolutely.
And what was the source of that? Is that MDAR?
So, no, the Farm Security Infrastructure Grant. So that was mainly, I think those are mainly federal monies.
Great. Wow.
I mean, that were funneled through... Yeah. Like maybe the CARES money, okay. Some of it, that Massachusetts dedicated it to ag and food businesses.
And
much money. I mean, it was like $56 million.
Yeah. And are you part of Mass Certified Quality?
We're not. So we're still under the threshold. Yep. Okay. We're hitting that threshold very quickly.
Yeah.
But I had Kate Bailey come out.
Yep.
Several years ago, and so she really helped me think about some things that I wasn't thinking about. So we haven't had to do that yet.
Yeah.
So I'll just show you. So this is a farm break room that we have that has.
So this
been
probably
various...
is where the bulk tank was, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So then this, we used to just have it was like maybe a 5-step entrance into the barn right here.
Yep.
And so because we elevated the ceiling, we had to build.
Yep. But now you have a nice cover for the heat pump.
Yes.
Equipment.
There's no storage other places on the farm, so we end up storing stuff,
but
of course, up here, which is terrific.
Love the racking, though.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, Craigslist.
This is a huge barn.
It is huge.
So what would you say are your favorite things about the project? What?
I think just the rolling of everything down there, like we're in the process of getting a couple other sort of, you know, U-boats.
Yeah.
Rolling, even up here, just being able to
roll
stuff from here.
This is new too, right?
Totally
new. It was all,
there was a staircase. We had to walk up 3 stairs to get out the barn. So being able to roll, you know, heavier stuff back and forth using a dolly, that's been amazing. Yeah, the whole idea of just the ease of movement of materials.
Yeah.
Even just, you know, whether we keep doing this, but, you know, unloading the veggies out of the truck, you know, being able to put them, you know, several bins on a dolly and then roll them rather than everyone carry one bin at a time. The ease of movement has been amazing. The lighting, I mean, we were literally working in the dark.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. So being able to just feel like, oh gosh, this is what a clean space feels like, because you can get all the nooks and crannies and clean it. And then I would say, again, I'm just doing a lot more, just really boosting my winter sales, and that's just been increasing every year, and being able to be a little bit warm.
Yeah.
In the washing in the winter was stellar.
You've mentioned several times just, frankly, the space and the light.
Yeah.
Like having some room and having some light.
Right.
And,
And
is there anything that you anything you'd avoid in doing it next time? Or anything you wish you did differently?
One, I wish we had insulated the cooler underneath.
Where it is.
If you just remembered to do that.
So quick aside on that. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, okay.
And in my opinion, the soil under that cooler is going to stay probably 45 to 50 degrees,
yeah,
even in the winter, where it is. And that's going to be freeze protection.
Yeah, right.
So I have seen coolers actually freeze up because they were insulated slabs.
Okay.
Especially in bank barns.
Okay.
Because
well, there
you go. The cold air comes in and water falls down. So
okay.
I think it's just fine.
Perfect. Great.
You can tell me I'm wrong later.
Okay, but, great. Let's see, any other, I mean, you know, it was the worst drag in the world to do it in the middle of the summer.
Yeah. Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we had a circus tent set up out there that was for CSA pickup.
Yeah.
So that was under that. And then all the washing and packing happened under a 20 by 20 tent under that cement block that I told you outside. And we had to dig trenches, you know, so the water could leave.
Yeah. Yep.
It felt horribly unsafe. It was like, I'm so surprised no one sprained an ankle. And it was so rainy last year that, in addition to just wash water, it was just dealing with rainwater.
Yep. Yep. Do you anticipate or have you seen any labor savings or other cost savings as a result of the project?
Yeah, I think I definitely will this year. I mean, again, we didn't really start using it until September.
Right.
But immediately when we moved the CSA in September, just rolling, being able to put six bins on a U-boat and carry them into CSA room was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And you've alluded, I think, to your potential for more winter sales kind of as a result of having a place to
Exactly. And the easy access in and out of the cooler, even with just a few things, because there wasn't even though it was cement, the floor was not smooth.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to use and put any, a lot of stuff on any wheel.
So sort of a self-serving question.
Yeah.
What was your experience working with UVM Extension and other technical service providers? And how'd that all go? I mean.
Great. Well, so I feel like when we had that video chat with you all last, whenever that was, that Al and I, it was like almost premature. I mean, it was great because you guys really gave us, you were looking at the farm having never seen it and had us really think about stuff. And so I realized that we were so at the early stages and everything was all not unsure in terms of how we could utilize that service. But that particular meeting.
Yeah.
It did give us a lot of food for thought. I have thoroughly enjoyed all those scrub workshops.
Oh,
and then I've watched every single one of the 8-part series on washing and packing. that was just really amazing. I can't
that's great.
Say enough.
That's
about
great. Thank you.
With you.
That's just great to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm excited for you all. This is an amazing setup
thank you.
You have.
Thank
and
you.
I think really above and beyond what I was envisioning.
Uh-huh.
So
oh, great. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll tell my builder.
Yeah. And I'll shoot you an email with a sketch tonight about what
sure.
I was thinking
yeah.
in terms
okay.
of the
yeah,
flow.
Yeah, great.
But,
I mean, no rush.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Looks great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Incredible.
This podcast is supported by the Vermont Vegetable and Berry Growers Association and the Ag Engineering Program of the University of Vermont Extension. If you want to see videos, photos, or any relevant notes from this episode or others, check out the website, thefarmersshare.com. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram as well so you don't miss any content. Thanks for listening.